At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Catholic Charities Fort Worth says it's housing a dozen children who were separated from their families at the U.S. border after fleeing violence in Central America. The boys and girls range from 5 to 12 years old and come from El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. CEO and President Heather Reynolds talked with NPR.
All of them have gone through pretty traumatic experiences back home, which made them come on this journey with their family to begin with. And so our big thing right now is just making them feel safe and getting them reunited with family.
Reynolds says the primary goal is to reunite children with their parents, though it's impossible at this point to make promises. Still, Reynolds says the organization is doing its best to reach out to families.
A lot of times when parents do get deported, we will contact that parent and ask if they want the child deported back as well, or if they would like the child to be with a relative in the United States. We want the parents to have as much say in that as possible.
Several groups across Texas are taking in the thousands of migrant children who've been separated from their parents. A national group this morning announced finalists for a contest that boosts adult literacy by using smartphone apps. A local team of researchers from SMU and Literacy Instruction for Texas made the cut. KERA's Bill Zeeble reports the local team and four other international finalists remain in the running for a $3 million grand prize.
The challenge from the Adult Literacy X Prize: develop an easy-to-use app to help adults learn to read and write. That's because more than 36 million U.S. adults lack basic English literacy, and local officials fear a third of Dallas adults could be illiterate within a decade if nothing changes. So the Barbara Bush Foundation for Family Literacy launched this adult literacy app contest.
To win this competition, you have to have at least met a baseline of producing the equivalent of 1 year's worth of classroom study through the use of your app.
Shlomi Katan is executive director of the Adult Literacy X Prize. He says eight semifinalists came up with smartphone apps, including teams from India and China. Since last summer, those eight apps have been field tested by thousands of real users in Los Angeles, Philadelphia, and here in Dallas. Katan says the results are promising.
Overall, learners using these apps are outperforming learners not using the apps or enrolled in school. So we're definitely seeing a boost amongst that subsample that we tested, and it is statistically significant.
The collaborative team from SMU and Literacy Instruction for Texas, or LIFT, calls itself People for Words. That team created the game called Codex: The Lost Words of Atlantis. It's set in Egypt.
So if you go into one of the first levels,
there are more relics hidden here.
You'll see that now it's just individual letters. It's doing a sound, and then you're having to pick the right letter that represents that sound.
SMU professor Corey Clark is a research director with the team.
So the whole point of the game is that you are trying to translate a language that nobody knows anymore. It's the Atlantean language. And so if you did it completely right, you get the gold crystal.
Clark says by making this a game, it helps reduce the stigma of illiteracy. He's excited to be an XPRIZE finalist.
When we did our pilots, we saw an increase in literacy level that was what was required for the XPRIZE in our pilot. The majority of the people that took the pilot did increase one full level. So we feel great. We think we have a great shot.
Clark's also excited about his team's shot at a separate element of this contest, something called the Communities Prize. That's another $1 million to be distributed across the country to adult literacy organizations who manage to sign up the most clients using one of the qualifying apps. Clark says of Dallas's 350,000 low-literate adults, local literacy groups serve only 5,000 of them. An app like this could potentially reach a lot more.
There's such this huge gap of people that need to be reached. And the problem is you can't reach them. They're not going to read signs and come to you. And there's a stigma around it. So we're hoping that something like this can just penetrate that market to get people just up a level, just to know that there are other people are out there.
Adult Literacy X Prize field tests continue in Dallas, Los Angeles, and Philadelphia, with winners to be announced in the fall of 2019. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
The Aaronson Cello Festival kicks off at SMU this weekend. Jennifer Humphreys is a cellist with the Dallas Symphony, and she'll perform at the festival. For our weekly State of the Arts, she sat down with KERA's Ann Bothwell to talk about her passion for the instrument.
Jennifer Humphreys, welcome to KERA.
Thank you so much for having me, Anne.
What is so special about the cello?
I've always felt the cello is just one of the most personal instruments. It physically, of course, we're practically hugging it when we play it. It involves our entire body, and so you feel super physically connected to the instrument. And in addition to that, the range that we get to play in is very similar to that of the human voice. One of my teachers in school would always emphasize the importance of trying to play like a singer and listen to singers so that we can imitate that. So I feel like it's a very human, very personal instrument to play. I've felt connected to it since day one, and I love it.
It's also a very moody sound.
Yeah, the cello can be so beautiful, but also very intense and sometimes pretty dark. We get the pleasure of playing a wide variety of roles.
Tell me a little bit about your cello.
My cello is a modern instrument. It was made in 2004 by a maker named Boris Sverdlik. I bought it directly from him, which is really special. A lot of times you don't get to work directly with the maker. One of the fascinating things about my instrument is that he was working in Cremona at the time, and they were tearing down an old building, and the maker was able to get his hands on some of the roof beams from this building that was probably hundreds of years old, and they were these massive pieces of wood. Most cellos, if you look closely, you can see that the back is actually two pieces of wood. You can see it split, and it's lined up right in the middle. My piece is actually a one-piece back because he had this unusually large piece of wood, and it's old wood. So I think it's really special that it's a new instrument but made with old wood, so it has a special soul.
The cello is having a bit of a moment in popular music. What do you think about that?
I think it's fantastic. I see cellists being used all the time now. I know Ed Sheeran, I see lots of music videos. He has a cellist that travels with him. Gregory Alan Isakoff has a cellist that travels with him. And I think it's fantastic. I felt when I was in school, when I was in junior high, I felt like a huge dork carrying this giant instrument down my back, on my back down the hallway. But instruments like the cello that are popping up in more of the pop music scene, might show people that, hey, this is really cool. You should come check it out.
With technology and all of the things competing for our time today, attention spans seem shorter than ever. Does that impact classical music?
I think it does, in the sense that we're so used to information being presented to us in these tiny little clips or sound bites or videos, where most symphonic works, or at least the majority of our repertoire, takes time to evolve and takes time to make it through this journey. And a lot of people aren't used to that taking so long. Classical music is, in a way, while it can embrace technology and a lot of the new ways of recording and spreading our art, that are evolving today, it's also a good antidote to the constant bombardment of information during the day that you can just turn it all off and just close your eyes and listen and let this sound just wash over you and take you on this journey.
Jennifer Humphreys, thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Ann.
Jennifer Humphreys performs Sunday. Learn more at artandseek.org. And in the weather, triple-digit heat. Dallas-Fort Worth recorded 100 degrees this afternoon for the first time this year. This weekend, with heat index, it'll feel like it's in the low 100s. There's a small chance of thunderstorms tonight, mainly to the north of Interstate 20, with greater chances to the north of Dallas-Fort Worth along the Red River. There's another chance of storms tomorrow night across the region, with potential for some severe storms to the north of Dallas-Fort Worth. At 6:30, this is KERA News.